Welcome to episode 308 of the official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, I'm joined by Dan Reamer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a little gassy this morning, so if I let out gross belches, I'm sorry.
Coming out of both ends?
No, just no.
Top side.
Top side.
I got you. Because sometimes when you're gassy, you're just all the way around.
Sometimes
gassy.
It's everywhere. Yeah, you're coughing and you're burping and you're farting. And for some reason, a sneeze gets thrown in there every now and then. And then you can't breathe, so you cough. And then the whole cycle starts again. Yeah, I get it. I've been there.
You ever sneeze fart?
I have sneeze farted. Yes. Have you?
Where there's so much pressure. Oh, yeah, of course. Where there's so much pressure that from the sneeze that you fart. The good news is the sneeze is noisy.
Right, so it covers it up. And And it's never happened to me, but it's always been like a literal fart. It's never been creeping towards anything else.
Like an accidental, you've never shit your pants.
Like an accidental escape of feces, yeah.
You're right. I've also never soiled myself sneezing, but I have sneeze farted a lot.
I've sneeze farted, yes. It's been mostly in private, a few times in public. But
I mean, sometimes you don't know. You just got to sneeze.
You ever be at that point where you're like... Like your stomach's funky and you're like, okay, I feel like I have to go take a shit. So you start walking and you're squeezing out little farts as you walk.
You're hoping that's all you're squeezing.
Oh, it's coming closer. Nope. I was right. I do have to shit. And you're like, yeah. Foot.
I like barely making it like that.
I don't. No, not me. No, I am not I am not a gambler.
It shows willpower, I think.
I don't think that's how that works.
Because you're like, I'm not going to shit on myself right now. Not in Target. Not like this. I'm too strong. I've come too far. Not today. You don't win today, Mexican food.
It doesn't
give me the shits. Friday.
Real Mexican food.
Yeah, it doesn't give me the shits, but I do like to, people always joke about it, so it's usually my go-to.
Oh, the Mexican food makes you poop.
Yeah, it doesn't. I can't think of one single item that every time I eat it, I need to go to the bathroom.
It doesn't me either. Taco Bell does, but those are two different things.
Yeah, Taco Bell doesn't do that to me either. And it wouldn't matter if it did. I would still eat it all the time.
Yeah, I eat it. It's good. I enjoy some Taco Bell. Once a week, I eat Taco Bell.
Yeah, me too. I'm on that schedule. You had the rolled chicken tacos since they've been back?
I have not, no.
They're pretty okay.
Yeah, I'm not a... And I can buy that at the store.
Yeah, but you can't buy it in the Taco Bell grease.
Yeah, but I don't do... The only thing I do with chicken at Taco Bell is the quesadilla.
The rolled chicken taco is all right. Now, I don't get into the chicken tacos and...
Yeah.
I don't do all that.
No, I'm pretty much a ground beef guy. I like my ground beef when it comes to Mexican food.
Your ground soy protein?
Yes. Well, no, when it comes to Mexican food, not Taco Bell.
Oh, real Mexican. Yes. Oh, see, I usually go for steak or chicken. I don't usually do the ground beef.
I like ground beef all the way around. I do enjoy some ground beef. Rice and beans. I like all that stuff.
I made a chili yesterday.
You did?
One part ground beef, one part deer venison.
Where'd you get venison?
My stepfather.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Venison's delicious.
Yeah, so I made a chili with it because I'm not a venison person.
Mm-hmm.
I like the snack sticks. I like the jerky, but I don't usually do the ground. But I decided to make a chili with it because I had a chili with it one time that was really good. And I will say the chili turned out very, very good.
That's good. Crock pot?
Yeah. That's how I prefer to do my chili.
Me too. I enjoy this. I enjoy the slow cooker aspect of chili.
I like everything in a slow cooker because even if you suck at cooking, it's still tender.
Usually, yeah.
Like you got to really be trying if you mess something up in the crock pot.
Some stuff you just can't do in a crock pot, though.
Yeah, steaks.
Right.
The nice New York strip right there in a crock pot.
Yeah, or you know, steaks aren't good.
Steaks should be grilled, but I've had some really good steaks in the oven.
Yeah, I have too. They should be grilled, or you can do them in a good cast iron pan, stovetop.
That's how, if I use them in the house, I get it like 9,000.
Yeah.
And I sear it, and I just throw the whole pan right in there with some butter.
Yep. That's how it should be done.
Yeah, they're... Don't fart.
I thought I was going to sneeze.
Oh, you faked me out. You did the whole hand motion and everything.
I was there, man.
I thought we were in. Thought it was happening. We're creeping up on the holidays.
Yeah.
Well, the holidays already started. We're creeping up on the next holiday.
Holidays.
For us. Christmas. We celebrate Christmas.
We do.
We're getting close.
A couple weeks.
Have you done all your shopping?
I am about 85% done. But all I have left to pick up is little stuff for people. Mm-hmm. I've got all the major stuff done. You know, the stuff that involves thought, like for the wife and those kinds of things.
Right. I'm in a better situation than normal, but far from complete.
Mm.
You know, I'm a Christmas Eve kind of guy usually.
I have stuff to do like all weekend. The weekend so the before fact, Christmas. So
the fact that I've purchased anything at this point is almost remarkable. I like to eliminate some of my options, let some of that stuff go away.
Amazon Prime, man.
Yeah, I know.
Everything's 2 days out.
Yeah, but we share a Prime account.
I hear ya.
Then it turns into like, don't read the emails.
I'm the only one who gets the email, so.
Don't ruin Christmas. She do you like a surprise?
She doesn't check, do I?
Yeah.
I can give or take, really.
Yeah.
If you want to just give it to me now, that's cool. I don't need to wait.
Oh, really? Like it's the same for you to get it today as it would be to wait till Christmas morning?
I just like getting stuff. I don't need a special day to do it.
I agree with that, but I do think there's something fun about like everybody getting together and opening stuff. It's always cold.
I enjoy watching other people open the stuff better than
yeah.
Me
too. I like that whole thing. But I do like getting things.
I
like
love
getting stuff.
Things.
There's some
noise because the dog just got in. Apparently my door didn't latch. Is
I
that
saw
what you're
that.
Talking about? That background noise?
I'm not talking about the noise. I'm talking about the ghost that opened the door.
Oh, it freaked out a little bit.
For everyone that doesn't have a visual needs to understand Dan's door opened, but no one came through it.
I'm going to be just a moment. You might hear me in the background because I'm going to get the dog out and lock the door.
It just opened.
Apparently to latch it.
It opened. Out. The light came through. It opened wide enough for a person to squeeze through, but nothing actually happened. There's Dan throwing his dog out. He's latched the door. Now he's ensured that it latched. He's heading back to the mic. We're back
Boom.
In. Now, Gerald's got some pretty obnoxious shoes pulled up, and I know you guys can't see this yet, but I want to give a shout-out to these ugly-ass boots that he had pulled up here. Let me get a name on those so I can
Which ones in particular?
Those right there, those top ones.
Those
no,
ones?
Not those. No. I know this plays good on the audio. These top ones with the logos on them, those. These are over at Journeys.
Oh, the...
I want you guys to check those out. Can you get a name on those? Oh, the men's Timberland Ness NBA East meets West 6-inch boot. They have NBA team logos on them.
Those are hot.
So
they have like West on 1 foot and East on the other foot?
I believe that's what's happening.
What if you're standing in reverse? Does it fuck up the time-space continuum? If you like, you have the east. If you stand a certain way, in like the east side, the east is on the west side, and the west is on the east side.
I don't know, but I'm a pretty confident person. I'm not confident enough for those boots.
I don't think confidence has anything to do with it.
They're also $200.
I just don't think I'd ever. Those are. I have no. I don't even like those.
You could get a VR for the same price as those boots.
Yes, I'll take a VR before that, and I already have
one. I'll take another VR before I take that. Those are not cool. Check those out. NBA East West Ness Timberlands. Check them out. I played a lot of games this week.
I didn't. I was fighting a cold all week. I'm still fighting a little one. Getting much better, though. So I did not play much this week.
Do you want to start then?
I'll go start. I think we played Rocket League one night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's still Rocket League, gearing up for that new Rocket Pass coming out. And then I finally downloaded Onrush and played Onrush. I just got through the tutorial part, the beginning part, before you can join in. And yeah, I can see why that game's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to play with you guys.
It's definitely a unique take on the driving genre. I like it. It's fun. It's still not a great game, I don't think, but it's a fun game. It's fun with friends. It's a neat dynamic because I'm pretty sure anyone could be good at it.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, you can. It doesn't require really, split second reflexes or anything like that. It's more about just having an idea of the tracks and knowing what you can do on the tracks. So you can learn that out of repetition.
There's like four different game modes, and you know, when you get partnered up with a group, you'll stay with that group as long as nobody backs out. And you might play seven or eight matches with the same people, and you might see seven or eight different MVPs.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't appear that there's anyone who's, like, always great at that game in every mode. It's interesting. I like Onrush. It's free right now on PlayStation Plus. It's free right now on Game Pass. Either console you have, you should play it. I think it's enjoyable.
I have it on both.
Yeah, I also have it on both. Also, shout out to, I know Elliot's on there. Shout out to Elliot. I saw him on there. We should play. And I can't remember if I saw Garrett
playing Onrush.
I don't think I saw him playing. I think I saw him as invitable maybe on the Xbox or the PS4, meaning he had played it.
Okay.
So shout out to whoever. Also shout out to Thomas. I didn't see you, but I miss you, bro. So yeah, Onrush is okay. They have the ranked mode going right now.
The ranked mode? I haven't gotten too into it, so I don't know.
Yeah. Open crates for free, too, so that's different.
Open crates for free, I can get behind.
Yeah, open crates.
Well, I downloaded it the other day, and I'm PS4, and I went through a tutorial, and this was at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I couldn't find a game to get into. It just kept searching and searching and searching and searching. So apparently that's not a before-dinner game.
I played some more Train Sim World, like 5 minutes of it, got in, still can't make the train move from where it's stuck at. Close that out. Try again some other time. I refuse to quit or start another one. I want to make that train move. It's hung up right now, though. So I did a little more of that.
What's it hung up on?
I don't fucking know. There's 600 switches, and I can't get it to go.
Okay.
And now I've poked so many things, I can't figure out what I've done.
Right, so you don't remember what the neutral position was.
I can't get everything back. I need like an all reset switch inside the cab because I've got every. Is it a cab?
Well, I don't know. It's a,
inside the main compartment.
Inside the main engine.
Yeah, the engine.
The engine control room. That's what it is.
Yeah, control system control. I can't figure out how to start over. I've cut main power. I've done everything. I need a default all button. Apparently trains don't have those.
No, probably not.
So can't find a master reset. So I played that for 5 minutes. Then I jumped in VR. I played one track on Beat Saber. The game's still fantastic. And then I played some Invisible Hours.
Oh, you finally started playing it.
I've been talking about it forever. That's a Game Trust published game, so that's a GameStop published game. Let me tell you about this game.
Okay.
It's taken me through some real high highs and some real low lows. So first off, it looks like shit. I want to come out with that.
Okay.
And I'm not being disrespectful to anyone that worked hard on that game. I feel like that's not the strength of the game that you made. Doesn't look good. And I think it's a VR issue. It's playable in and out of VR apparently, which I didn't realize.
And it looks better out?
I haven't played it out, but I can only imagine that it can. I can barely read the text. It's blurry. And sometimes the text will like pop in and out where it's crystal clear, and then it'll jump back to blurry again.
Mm.
That screen door effect people talk about is extra visible in this game.
Gotcha.
Where it looks like you're looking through a screen door at everything. The animations aren't great. So, and here's why. This game, let me set the scene. It's a murder mystery.
Right. I didn't know that.
Think a murder mystery where you are an invisible person with full-time control that is in the home.
Mm-hmm.
You can only revert back to the beginning of the scene. So he is obviously already dead when you go all the way back.
Yeah.
But the goal of the game is to go all the way back and then follow each character's story.
To see who killed?
Eventually, yeah, you're trying to figure out who the killer is. But there's twists and turns along the way. You can easily miss something if you don't want to go all the way back. And it's very smart because the game is artificially long because you have to watch everyone's point of view.
Yeah, I don't think that plays well for VR, though.
I played for about 2 hours the other night. I completed chapter one. I think there are 4 chapters. So I still think they have it manageable. I think it's probably 8 hours to beat this game.
Okay.
Like I said, doesn't look good. Animations aren't good. You're getting a little bit of it right now. I mean, that's at its best, I would say. So it's Tesla is the person who is murdered. Thomas
Nikolai
Edison.
Tesla?
Yes. Nice. Thomas Edison is in the home.
Oh.
And you are just following the different stories, the different paths. And the crazy thing is you can go anywhere at any time. You can go outside and watch it from the window. You can follow them. You have free movement. You can attach to them so it automatically scrolls you. And you're learning more about it. And as you catch these key moments, it kind of, it has like a almost, if you remember Until Dawn when the butterfly effect would happen.
Yep.
It would almost like, it almost pops something letting you know like, hey, you just witnessed a key event. So keep that in mind. There are already these collectibles. Everybody seems shady, as with any good murder mystery.
Everybody should, yes.
Everybody feels like they did it. You know, there is one person that you know didn't do it.
You?
No, you don't exist. There is one person, though, that the scene starts with that you follow up to the place. There's no way they could have done it. They weren't there.
Okay.
And there's a... From start to finish, he's dead. That person's not on the island. So you know that, you know he didn't do it. So everyone else seems guilty. And there's like 4 or 5 other people that you're kind of tracking. It's interesting. Like I said, it does not look good. But the time manipulation is part of the reason it doesn't look good. So in the middle of a conversation, I can pause time. I can rewind it. I can fast forward it. Mm-hmm. I can get it to exactly the moment I want. So if they're holding a book and they turn the page, I can pause it and then check the page of that book.
Got it.
So there's like so many little nuances that you have to pay attention to, and you have to watch every moment from every angle. And because of that, you just catch some stuff that does not look good. People do weird things too. Like you can tell that they're waiting for like their scene, if you will. So sometimes you're over next to somebody, they're just kind of standing there, their mouth wiggles strange. There's a lot of weird mouth positions in this game. A lot of weird mouth stuff. But see, so right now, that gentleman right there, he just stands there for like 45 seconds before moving. And it's weird because he just kind of rocks and his mouth looks like he's talking, but there's no noise. It's like he's just waiting for the scene to begin because he doesn't have a part yet because the interesting stuff's happening somewhere else.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. This doesn't look intriguing to me.
It does not look good, but there's something, like, I kind of want to know what happened.
I get that, but I don't have that because I haven't started. I'm assuming that starting it is kind of what draws you towards wanting to know what happens.
So 15 minutes into this game, I'm like, I shouldn't have waited so long to play this. VR has progressed since this was released. But by the time I finish my 2 hours, I'm ready to play like now. I really do want to know what happens. And I'm really intrigued by some of these characters. I don't know that there's a reason to play it. It's neat, I guess, to lean over and see things and all that. I don't know that this game's... If it doesn't have the VR gimmick, I don't know what this game is like. If you just play this out of VR 8 hours, it was like $20, $29. I don't know that you get enough out of it. Mm-hmm. There's something kind of unique about standing beside two people having a conversation and you're not existing and you can rotate all the way around them. And it's all right. I'm interested to see how it plays out. I don't know that I suggest you buy it if you can't pick it up cheap. But I did finally get into it. It was a toss-up between that and Derecine.
And you didn't do Derecine, huh?
Simply because it was not installed and Invisible Hours was already ready to go.
Gotcha.
That's kind of was my deciding factor. Then I jumped into, I picked up Smash Brothers for the Switch.
Mm,
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And that's real Smash Brosies. I like it. It's very much Smash Bros. They brought back the, there's a single player style story progression World of Light mode thing. So that's kind of like what I like. It's like the embassy mode back in the Wii days. Like,
oh, you're the only way you're going to play it, right?
Probably. Patman picked it up. I'll probably play a couple matches with him online, let him beat my ass. And
that's how that'll go.
But the single player is mostly the reason I wanted it. I mean, I've always buy Smash no matter what. The varying degrees to how much I play them kind of depends on how the unlockables work and how the single player works and if there is a single player. You can always just fight the computer and kind of work your way up that way. But I really like this. There's an overworld and this kind of map. You make choices. It's really complicated. There's these spirits and the spirits have spirits. And there's a lot of things to kind of keep up with.
It sounds like nothing I need in my life.
But the core gameplay is really good. They do some neat things.
However, this is no shit. I have never played a Smash Brothers game.
Yeah, so it's I think they refer to it as like a platform fighter. It's not just a fighter.
Because there's jumping, right?
And it's mostly like positioning and jumping and things like that. The hits obviously happen, but you really put yourself in a position to hit and to not die by being in the right position. And you get blasted off, you come right back. Like the traditional Smash, like you're not out.
Right.
So I think people like it because even if you suck at it, you could keep being in there. If anything else, you might not be able to win, but you might be able to keep someone else from winning. It's Smash. It'll do great. I think it's well done. They do some really unique things. The way you fall off the map and can now see kind of where you are when you can't see your character, I think is neat. If you dodge a whole bunch, you know, people who just spam dodge all the time, the dodge takes longer and longer to get out of the more you do it now. To keep people from just holding it. And I think that's super smart. Because you're vulnerable now when you get out of dodge if you've done it a whole lot. So I like that. It's interesting. I'll play it. I'll keep playing through it. It's a good game to pick up, play two or three matches, and put back down. And I'm only about an hour into the World of Light, I think it's called.
Yeah.
So I like it. But yeah, a lot of stuff this week, but a lot of bouncing around. I'll report back on the Invisible Hours. I'm going to play at least the second chapter today.
Fair enough.
If not, the second and third, depending on how big of a piece of shit I feel like.
I can't talk about it too much, but what I can say is that I got into the Anthem alpha test. So I will
BioWare's Anthem, for anybody who's confused right now.
I will be playing that this afternoon. I have already set away a block with everybody who counts from 2 to 5.
Like, just so you know, today from 2 to 5 p.m., I'll be unavailable. You got your out of office set. Got automatic replies on.
Yep, all that stuff. Yeah, not answering the phone. I already told my wife, don't bother me between this time and this time.
Is it only up today, 2 to 5?
Today's the last. Well, I had to work yesterday, and it was 10 to 1 yesterday and today, and then 2 to 5 yesterday and today. Well, I had to work till 4, so yesterday was out, and I have to do this morning, because I'm all about priorities, so today's out. So that's the only window I have to play it. So, I'm in.
It's all, you've got it already though.
Yeah, I got it downloaded and everything. All I gotta do is hit start.
Gotcha.
Won't be able to talk about it too much. Some dude apparently streamed it yesterday and they fucking wiped his EA Origin account. Some dude on PC.
There's an NDA with it, correct?
There is an NDA with it.
But non-disclosure agreement.
Some dude yesterday decided to
fuck it.
Decided to go ahead and stream it because, you know, no fucks to give. And now he can log into his EA Origin account and he has nothing in his library.
Well, they say don't bite the hand that feeds.
Yeah.
Don't shit where you sleep.
Yeah. He basically is no longer, he cannot access his EA Origins account.
Right
now. Whether that changes or not, I don't know, but
probably not.
Shouldn't.
Probably not.
No.
We're going to give you a brief rundown. So this week is a pretty much the Game Awards recap because there's so much news came out of it. Next week should be a traditional show, we think. And then the following week will be our Game of the Year, our Swellness Awards. So that's kind of the rundown on where we are for the rest of the year. Just so anyone who's, I've had a couple people ask about the Game of the Year stuff. I know that that is going to post the day before Christmas, but you should be buying games that you want, not buying games because we said that we like them.
Right.
So we want to recap the games we love for you guys, the games we're looking forward to, but we want you to make your own choices because you're powerful, you know? Don't rely on somebody else.
No, that's right.
Do your thing.
You just you need to understand the value in you.
Yeah. So if you did a shirt, it was like value, but the U was capital.
Yes, you.
Like the value in you. The U in, yeah.
Or you could VALYOU.
Oh, I see what you're doing. I see what
value.
You're doing. Value. No, yeah. I don't like that as much.
I don't care.
Because people are going to be like, what's that? It sounds like a store.
Value.
Welcome to value. Everything's half off and we don't give a shit.
Everything's three times as much. Right. And we don't give a shit.
That's a new idea for a store. Everything's extra expensive to flaunt the money you have. Like I shop over here at Super High just because I can.
That's right. That needs to be the next store Bill Bezos opens.
Yeah. Our milk's $6 a gallon because I got it like that.
Right. You know why? Because it can be.
Is it a better product? No. It's a more expensive product. I'm sending out an email to myself so no one can do it.
Just throw out. That's just going to fuck capitalism all up.
Welcome to Super High.
SuperExpensiveStuff.com.
You could get like a person that as soon as you walk in just follows you around and puts stuff in the cart and pushes the cart for you.
They can
the
push
product's
cart
all the
for
same,
you.
But you're paying extra to have him your liaison to the super because you're too classy to touch the things on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you still want the social experience of going grocery shopping. Super
sure. High. Yeah. Super high.
And the logo will be like a
not to be confused with something else.
Isn't that a magazine, a publication?
No, it's High Times.
About weed
smoking?
High Times. I thought there's one called Super High, too.
I don't think so. There might be, but I don't know. I'm not up on my CBD propaganda.
Also not to be confused with Super Bad.
Right. Or Super Cross.
Well, yeah, or Superman. This is the supers you don't want to confuse it with. The Game Awards. Speaking of Superman, Jeff Keighley. Bless his heart. I feel like he puts everything into these Game Awards. Like, all in. You could see the stress on his face, the joy on his face, the fear on his face.
Well, I think what was nice about this year, the feeling I got, is that his vision kind of finally came together.
Do you worry, this is something I was thinking about when I was watching it, do you worry this is too old school award show?
I don't think so. I think the difference is I think, you know, it's the celebrity culture. In this case, what's nice is that the celebrities at the Game Show Awards are, or the Game Awards are the world premieres. As long as you've got those, you're going to have people in and people are, I think you're going to see more of a reach towards the Twitch stuff and the content creator stuff and kind of cycle back to just some of your indie game of the year art direction. I don't think they're old school. I think there's a good medium between what we are familiar with as award shows and bringing something new to it with the content.
Yeah, that's my only thing is when I watch it, I wonder if this is, if it's too traditional award show for what video games are, but then people must like traditional award shows or they wouldn't still be around.
Right. Exactly.
So
I mean, because the reason they're so old school, when you say old school war shows, is because you, I think you kind of want to, I mean, let's face it, for years, a war shows as we've known them have given an air of legitimacy to whatever the awards are for. And I think by doing that, you kind of bring that same air of legitimacy to video games, which is a much harder push for many people in the world than it is for us, obviously, and most gamers. But it kind of puts that on that same entertainment, art, media playing field.
Yeah, just that stuffy, two people walk out, they make jokes that aren't funny, they read off the nominees, one comes up and puts together a speech that is chaos, and they play them off the stage. Like, that is right. Very much there.
Read it, boy. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's very much there. I don't know. I thought it went off well. I do miss the Schick Razor guy.
I don't miss that guy a bit.
Didn't catch that guy anywhere. Yeah. Yeah, didn't catch him anywhere, so I miss him. But I thought it went off pretty well. Jeff Keighley seems super excited to be there and to be doing it. I mean, I guess that's like watching your baby grow every year, and I think that show has gotten better every year.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to note before we start talking about the Game Awards, I know we haven't given much light to this because I don't think it's, you know, we talked about the fact that we're doing it, but we didn't get into it too much. CBS is doing a Gamer's Choice Awards.
Yes.
It airs tonight, the night we're recording this, the 9th. So, obviously, we're not going to talk about it yet. I don't know that there's room for two of these award shows, and
I think in most gamers' eyes, Jeff Keighley is going to bring a lot more legitimacy to it than CBS.
He had some very big announcements this time. He obviously lined up some very cool moments. I'm not pumped about CBS. A lot of people out there are like, why are they trying to get into the video games? Just to be clear, CBS has been into video games.
Yeah, yeah.
They own GameFAQs, they own GameSpot, they own Giant Bomb, they own Metacritic. You know, they're very much in this industry, so don't shit on them for that. But it's like I said before, why did start your own? Why don't you just go to Jeff Keighley and say, we're going to put you on CBS, and it's going to be the CBS Game
right.
Awards?
Right.
Or the Video Game Awards presented by CBS. Anything. And we're going to put them over here. Yep. Because Jeff Keighley already does an amazing job, and the team that he works with obviously pours their heart and soul into that show. I thought that show was very well done.
So did I. I thought it was very professional. Everyone seemed to be educated on why they were there.
Yeah.
Which is super important. I mean, there was no, you know, fuck the Oscars moments this year, which was a good thing.
But they had him on the pre-show, which is so smart.
Uh-huh.
Because you play to your strength.
He didn't fly off the handle or anything.
And Jeff even joked about it.
Yeah, right.
And he said, like, don't get me started, Jeff. Like, it was, I don't know. I just thought the whole thing was a good moment. There were some weird parts. Jonah Hill came out, and I'm like, I don't like this. But then he seemed very genuine.
And he seemed, yeah.
He seemed to actually know the person he was presenting the award to. He seemed very genuine. He seemed very in the moment. He seemed like he wanted to be there. Like, every time I thought it was a misstep, it ended up being okay. So.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, overall, I thought it went incredibly well.
Now, Gerald just pointed out this is a fan voted. So yes. The Game Awards is industry voted.
Yes.
So this is like the Teen Nick Awards of video games. What's that thing called? The Nick Choice Awards?
Nick? Yeah, I don't know. I don't watch them.
Yeah, somebody 2. Might get 1 million votes from fans. That's not that many votes either.
Right.
But you can look forward to appearances by Snoop Dogg, Terry Crews, Tony Hawk, Chandler Riggs, and performances by Kiss.
Kiss.
Because they've got their finger on the pulse.
They know who their audience is, obviously.
Of what gamers like. Kiss.
Kiss.
Lots of times when I'm playing games, they're like, I hear Kiss in the background.
That's right.
Because they're definitely relevant still. What the hell?
Different.
Yeah, so this actually already happened. It happened on December 3rd. It'll air tonight.
Yes, it's pre-taped.
Some bullshit, too.
Yeah, none of that shit for Jeff Keighley.
Go live if you, I mean, live or it didn't happen, you know?
That's not a thing.
That's what kids say.
That's not
when
a
they're,
thing.
When they're listening to Kiss.
It's not a thing. Okay, not what
when they got
thing.
When they got their Kiss jamming in the background.
That's right. Crying.
Oh, man.
Playing video games, crying over Beth.
Yeah.
That's a Kiss song for those of you that don't know.
Which is everyone, because no one listens to Kiss while they play video games.
You don't have to listen. You don't have to play video games to listen to Kiss. You can listen to Kiss whenever you want to.
Right, but when you infuse them together into Kiss opening the Nicktoons Video Game Awards, it's not a good feeling.
It's different.
I don't want to shit on the people that worked hard on that show. I just think there was already a better option. You could have just thrown some money at Jeff, and I'm sure he would have listened.
Yeah, because he likes video games and money.
Mm-hmm. And Kojima.
And Kojima.
Third thing that Jeff likes. Video games, money, and Kojima.
Who was not there this year?
Oh, because he was at Jeff's house still.
Probably living in his pool house.
Yeah, man, he loves that guy. Let's just jump into it. So I pulled all the winners. We're not going to talk about all the winners. I thought I'd just throw out some. You would throw out some that we thought were interesting or surprising or that you agreed with or didn't agree with.
Okay.
And we'll just kind of organically go through it. We haven't talked about this.
No.
we'll obviously, let's just start at the most obvious point with the game of the year. The biggest accolade, I guess, you can get from the Game Awards.
Which is presented, it's important to note that the Game of the Year is presented last, obviously, because that's the one all the bell was for. Judging how the rest of the night had gone, I was a little surprised. I was pleasantly surprised, but I was surprised.
So the nominees, again, were Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste, God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, and Red Dead Redemption 2. So those were the games nominated. I don't think there's probably a wrong answer there. I think they all bring something unique to the table, but ultimately Sony Santa Monica's God of War was the game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I also was a little surprised that Red Dead didn't win that, but happy about it.
I was happy too. Side note, I can't get back into Red Dead.
Oh, really?
Do you think
you did too many side quests and didn't move that narrative for too long?
Maybe. The problem is the more I think about it, because I've actually gone back and I thought about what I've played. Because I played like 6 or 8 hours of this game.
I'm going to say more than that.
It might be more than that. But it was a single player game. And the problem is the game doesn't appear to be going anywhere that I care to see any story end up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I'm okay. Well, benefit of the doubt. Well, let's say I'm 12 hours in. I'm 12 hours into an 80 hour single player experience, and I already don't care what's going to happen.
Yeah, I heard that story really starts to buckle down in the third chapter, but there's so much game between 1 and 3 that I think that's not. I didn't even get far enough in to get lost and to like not, you know, and not be interested. I didn't even play enough for that. But right. I see a lot of people speaking about the lull between like 1 and 3 because there's so many side quests, and if you move on, you can't do some of that stuff.
Right, and I just. I don't know. I'm having a hard time even wanting to go back to it. I mean, I think it looks great. I think it plays great. I think everything you can do in it is great. I'm just not interested in it.
I get that. Shout out to God of War. That's a huge award. I know that team put a lot of time and energy just like those other teams did, but, I think that was a good win. Now, this next category, I don't really want to go too into. Fortnite won it, Best Ongoing Game. But I do want to give a shout-out to Hello Games because No Man's Sky was nominated for Best Ongoing Game.
Nominated. Good. That was a good nomination.
You just think back to that game's crash and burn when it launched, and the fact that that team never quit on it. I mean, to be nominated beside Destiny 2, Fortnite, Overwatch, and Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah,
like shout out to them.
Good job, Hello Games.
Because it would have been much easier to quit, to tuck your tail and run. And not only did you not do that, you kept updating it. You made it closer to what people wanted, and then you took it to Xbox, and now you've continued to release, and I believe they actually announced or showed off stuff there.
For No Man's Sky. Yeah. I think they did.
But yeah,
they may not have. I think we'll get into what they showed off actually.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't that. Best game direction. You think that's probably one we should shed some light on?
I don't know.
Okay, it was God of War for anybody that cares. For a lot of these categories, I do want to shout out the fact that Sony's first party dominated most of these nominations.
Yeah, they did.
Spider-Man, God of War, and Detroit were on most all of these.
Yes.
Very impressive. Because it would... There were so many good games last year, this year.
Yes, there were.
Very impressive that they could dominate it. So, best narrative, I know that's one that you do care about.
I do.
And probably didn't end where you were hoping.
It didn't. the nominees for Best Narrative were Detroit Become Human, God of War, Life is Strange 2, Episode 1, Marvel's Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2. And the winner was Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm.
I've already spoken to how I feel about the narrative. I think it's a little unfair for Life is Strange to be judged by its episodes. I do feel it should be judged once the complete experience has released.
I guess the problem with that is this media is judged on the physical hold it in your hand or select it in the menu thing.
Yeah. Which I get, but...
So until Season 2 Complete is out.
Right. It shouldn't have been nominated this year. It shouldn't have been nominated for last year. In my opinion, for next year, excuse me.
Yeah, I had a stroke for a second. I was like,
for what? Next year, because I feel all the episodes will release at that point. I don't think it's fair because you're not, it hasn't told the whole story yet.
I guess I come at it from a different point because I don't have that love for that franchise. But to me, they should be proud to be nominated beside the likes of Detroit, God of War, Spider-Man, and Red Dead, even if
without a doubt, I agree with that.
Because even as a complete take, I still don't think they win.
I don't either, but I think they still come in at a severe disadvantage, only having a third of their story told.
Yeah, but I think the advantage is just the fact that you got nominated beside games like that. That's crazy.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a great honor.
It's a great honor
to be nominated among these.
First off, I want to thank my fellow nominees. You guys are amazing.
Right. Right.
Fuck you guys.
Red Dead Redemption 2 won it. I'm a little off put by that. I didn't agree with that. I probably would have given it to, but I won't go into what if because we're doing our awards in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you'll actually give it to something.
So,
just jumping down through here, blah, 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 blah. Best indie game, best independent game was Celeste. That should come as no shock because Celeste was nominated for everything.
Yeah, no surprise.
Best AR VR game. Let me do this one and then I'll let you take over.
Okay.
Again, we talked about this category beforehand. Anyone here could have won and it would have been absolutely fine with me because these are all fantastic. But the winner at the end of the day was Astrobot.
Which so, you loved.
I do. But I love Beat Saber and Firewall and Moss and Tetris Effect. They should have called that the PSVR Awards. shout out to Sony, too, for making that platform work. Because you never hear anyone talk about Vive or Oculus. Oculus only when it's burning down. But shout out to PlayStation for just silently just... keeping that thing chugging along. I think they passed 2 million units now.
Yep.
That was before Black Friday, so there's no telling what they're at now, and they just quietly keep making awesome games, and I know they're working on Moss 2 over at Polyarch, I believe is right.
I guess I could just look at the thing
because I'm probably says. Yeah, Polyarch. I could just look at the damn email I sent out. But yeah, that game is awesome. For Moss is what I'm talking about. A Tetris Effect is great in or out. Beat Saber I've spoke about in length. Astrobot is special. And Firewall 0 Hour is maybe the most fun I've had, especially in a group setting playing VR.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
So, I love that category.
I got a couple I want to go over. This one really disappointed me, and I thought that they were way off base. Best score in music went to Red Dead Redemption.
This one irritated you so bad, people should know that Dan texted me as soon as it happened. He was instantly disappointed.
This should have gone to God of War hands down. Hands down. There's not a bad one here. But Red Dead Redemption was very, even a little bit I've played, it's a very, to me it comes across as a very typical Western soundtrack. Obviously it's got a few things thrown in, but I recognize what that is. From what I've played, I haven't gotten any emotional reaction. And this might be tied more to the narrative than anything else. But for me, when music is supposed, music, you know, it has an emotional effect on me when I play games or watch movies. And I didn't get that out of Red Dead Redemption 2. But when I played God of War, I mean, I had the sweeping highs and the sweeping lows from the music. And I noticed that. I mean, I had to actually go out of my way a few times to actually notice the music in Red Dead. That never happened to me in God of War. It was always there. I always knew it was there. I always heard it. So I was a little let down by that. I was a lot let down by that, I'm not going to lie. Ryan can attest to that. He already has.
He was pissed.
And this one, I want to bring up this one because I don't play any of them, but I was surprised at what won. Best mobile game. The nominees were Donut County, Florence, Fortnite, PUBG, and Reigns, Game of Thrones. And the winner was Florence. I thought for sure you would have seen Fortnite or PUBG come out as winner on that. But.
So I think this is the difference between fan voted and industry voted.
Right.
Because I'll be perfectly honest with you, I think fan voted probably Call of Duty or Fortnite wins everything.
No, probably.
So that's my concern with fan voted. I just realized how long we've been going.
Okay.
We need to get to the announcements.
Okay.
Congratulations to all the winners. I didn't want to skip over that part of the show because I do think that is an important part of the show. Shout out to everybody who actually won, though. The announcements, though. The real reason everyone was there. The world premieres, the teases, the trailers, all that. And we got a lot of them.
Yeah.
And some pretty hard hitters.
A lot.
The first one I thought that we would jump into was Marvel's Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order for the Switch.
For the Switch only.
Exclusively on the Nintendo Switch.
Which means once they announce a release date, Dan might have to go out and get him a Switch.
Right, which is also what you text me.
This will be the game that will turn me over.
So
I loved 1 and 2.
This seems like a smart fit on the Switch too.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. I hate to have to spend $300 to play it, but
it seems like a smart fit for the console though.
Crosses we bear.
That you can play this sitting on the couch while a movie's going. Like it just seems like a smart fit.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm excited for it. I've always loved the Ultimate Alliance games. So I'm looking forward to this one rather other than the cash flow situation. But well.
Journey to the Savage Planet, which is a Typhoon Studios, not a Typhoon. It's a team of developers made out of Assassin's Creed and Arkham Asylum members. So it's a pretty good pedigree there. It's an upbeat adventure game focusing on exploration of a hostile alien planet. And it actually looked okay to me.
Yeah.
I thought it was all right. Moving on to the Stanley Parable. Obviously, this was a giant PC experience. several years back, but a new version is coming to consoles and to PC with it's called the Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe, and it of course has more content with it. It was I thought the trailer was funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very Stanley Parable trailer, so I know people are excited about that.
Next up, Ubisoft showed us Far Cry New Dawn, which if you played Far Cry 5 is the extension of that story. And it releases.
Like that looked a lot like Rage 2?
No, I thought it looked like Far Cry.
See, to me, that game felt like Rage 2 to me. Like, oh, post-apocalyptic, everybody's crazy, Mad Max-style cars, face paint.
Well, I think you'll have a special... I think it'll play different for you if you played Far Cry 5, because you're going to see a lot of those same environments. It takes place in the same same area as Far Cry 5, just 17 years later after nukes were dropped.
I guess I just thought it was an odd next step for me, considering Rage 2 is so close.
Yeah, but I don't know. I didn't get the Mad Max feel out of Far Cry, and that's what I get out of Rage.
Yeah, they're like crazy cars with guns everywhere, and I don't know. To me, like, I super got that feel out of both of them. Now, it is worth knowing this is not a proper numbered Far Cry.
No, it's just Far Cry New Dawn.
This is like, what was the last one where you were...
Primal?
Primal, yeah, it's like that. I do want to note that for anybody who is concerned about the time frame. They are using that map. They've just made changes to it.
It's going to be releasing in February of 2019.
Yeah. Close.
And it's only going to be $40.
Yeah, close. Just worry about the look.
I'm not worried about the look.
Not that I think it's a bad thing, just that I think it's very close. But of course, I mean, hats off to them for getting out before Rage, so.
Yeah.
Rage 2, I think, is May.
Yeah, it is.
So
that's got more of a sci-fi bent to it anyway than Far Cry New Dawn.
I don't know. They both look post-apocalyptic, over-the-top guns and shit welded together. I think it's a very similar look.
I will agree to disagree. Moving on.
Yeah, watch those two trailers. Let us know what you think. At @game_stitch on Twitter. But I just want to see where people stand.
On their feet.
Or hands. Some people can walk on their hands pretty well.
When I taught you, didn't say walk, you said stand.
Yeah, you could stand on your hands.
Some people can.
Called handstands.
Most people.
They have a name.
Stand on their feet.
Hades. It's the next game from Transistor and Bastion developer, Supergiant. It looks like one of their games. It looks incredible as far as the art style goes. Mm-hmm. I probably won't play it because I didn't play much Transistor and didn't play much Bastion, but it looks fine. It looks good. The art is perfect for their style.
Next up is Midwinter, a studio founded by former Halo developer Josh Holmes, showed off a survival/shooter/competition game called Scavengers.
He used a word that I was uncomfortable with.
Which one was that?
Like cooperation, I think he said.
Yeah, something like that.
You need to be punched in the throat for trying to say that. But I do think the game looks interesting.
Yeah,
just don't say cooperation.
Cooperation, yes. Playtesting is going to begin in 2019. I have signed up. You can go to, Scavengers. I can't remember the name of the website. But if you Google it, it'll come up and you can sign up for that. I think this game looks pretty interesting.
Cooperation.com.
Cooperation.
I mean, I understand he's saying it's co-op, but there's a competitive nature there too. But I would almost prefer that than cooperation.
Cooperation?
And I don't know that. I think that's what he said, though. I feel pretty confident that's what he said.
Wasn't it competition?
I don't think so. Could have been.
Coopetition? I can't remember.
Could have been. Then we got a look at Crash Team Racing Remastered. A lot of people really excited about this. Not really doing much for me, but I'm glad that people are excited. B-Nox is handling the remaster, a studio probably known for its work on Spider-Man and Call of Duty games. Expect to play it June 21st, 2019.
Yes. B-Nox. Then we saw The Outer Worlds from Obsidian. Single-player RPG set in a sci-fi world. A lot of people think this looks really intriguing. I think this looks like New Vegas in space, which makes sense, considering it's Obsidian. But there's probably an audience for that. It's not me, but I'm sure there are people that will enjoy it.
It's probably a next-gen game.
Probably.
A lot of these will probably be next-gen games. But I think that's one that definitely will be. Dauntless, the Monster Hunter-like RPG coming to PS4, Xbox One, following its PC launch, is expected to arrive as a free download on April 2019 when it becomes available through Epic Games' newly announced Epic Store, the Steam competitor.
Yes.
So that was announced. Hello Games.
Yep.
Your friendly Joe Danger, No Man's Sky developer, announced their next game, and it looks like a return to form in the fact that they look like an indie studio again.
Yes.
No Man's Sky was not that.
Nope.
They tried to make a AAA game with a indie studio, and their new game, The Last Campfire, looks really good to me. It looks like a return to form. I will play this just out of principle. First off, it looks like something I'll enjoy, but I'm also going to play it because that's a studio that could have given up, and they didn't, and I love that they not only fixed No Man's Sky, but they made something else.
Yeah, this game looks good to me. This game looks really good to me. I'll definitely be playing this. Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, BioWare showed off another Anthem demo. Gave us a little bit of the story aspect of what's going on. It's been something that's been questioned a lot of people have been questioning, excuse me, mixing my words up, because that's traditionally what BioWare's been known for. NASA said you'd be able to get an early taste in two demos. VIPs will be available. VIPs and pre-order customers. I don't know what the difference is between those two. From January 25th until January 27th. And then everyone will have access to it from February 1st to February 3rd. And then it releases February 24th? 18th?
Yeah. Sure.
It's one of those. It's a day that everything's coming out in February.
Yeah, that February. It's like 22nd or something.
Yeah. So, there's that. What do we got next?
So, Atlas is from the creators of Ark Survival Evolved. It's an ambitious-looking PC and a console MMO featuring ship battles, mythological creatures / beast combat, and more. With the PC edition launching next week, consoles coming in 2019, and this will be a part of Xbox's game preview program.
Yes, it will. BioWare also gave us a short teaser for Dragon Age 4. Hints at a central story figure by ending saying the Dread Wolf rises. The Dread Wolf rises.
The Dread Wolf rises. Say that 16 yes. times fast.
Yeah, yeah. Once is enough for me.
Then we got a look. Go ahead.
And then we just got some minor looks at what is more than likely going to be one of the main characters. And if you're familiar with Inquisitor, then you'll be on board and know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't feel like that teaser showed anything.
If you're into the lore.
That game's probably too far out to have announced also.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, what you got is probably what there is.
I'll be real on this, and this, a lot of people may not share this. I think it does a disservice to Anthem to show Dragon Age already.
You think so?
Yeah, I think you just wait to announce that at E3 because you want all focus to be on Anthem right now. Because as someone who's not going to play probably either one of those games, my very first thought is BioWare and EA have already moved on from Anthem. And I'm sure not the case, but that's my first thought as someone who is not really involved in either one of those franchises, is it just could have waited because all you showed was basically a splash, not even a logo.
Right.
Like I just didn't think it was necessary.
Fair enough.
So that was a concern I had with that, but who knows? I don't know. PUBG showed off a new map. It's a snowy map. You can trace footprints and also just snowmobile. So that's cool.
Yeah. We got some new Ancestors gameplay from Assassin's Creed creator Patrice Desilets and his new studio, Panache Digital Games. Proper gameplay trailer, finally. Apparently, environmental diversity is one of the big features. You're going to explore jungles and savannas of Africa while surviving harsh ecosystems, fighting off predators. All this time, you're going to be essentially, it's an evolution sim, because you'll also be taking part in multiple generations of human ancestry from the early apes up to Lucy, the closest and earliest relative of humans.
This thing looks super interesting to me, but I don't understand what the game is.
Right.
And to say the gameplay looked not fleshed out, I think maybe it might be an understatement for what they showed off.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I think the idea here is really interesting. I love people trying to go do their own thing. I think it's a unique. I am blown away by the amount of unique ideas that still come out of game development.
I know you'd think that, and it's funny because we complain so much about, oh, we've seen this, we've seen that. Everyone's doing Battle Royale now, but then you get these.
Everyone is doing Battle Royale, but they're doing it in different ways and different strategies. And then some people just aren't. Like, to see Celeste up against God of War, like, warms my heart.
Yep.
You know, you always hear with movies, people are like, oh, it's just like this or it's just like that. You don't see that as much out of games. Like, it's really pretty incredible that people are still able to come up with unique ideas every day.
Yes. And it's good as gamers that we continue to accept those changes and differences and realize there's more for all of us that way.
Ed Boon strode on stage and announced Mortal Kombat 11. I think this was maybe one of the worst kept secrets of the Game Awards. Everyone thought this was coming because everyone thought it was coming at E3. It looked
and
like Mortal Kombat.
Let me tell you something. If you want to keep Ed Boon's Mortal Kombat a secret, don't have him come out to present for some fucking esports fucking...
He came out to present for Best Driving Sports Game. And
right,
for
that's
some
what it
reason,
was.
They rolled the trailer before they announced the winner.
Yeah.
I thought my YouTube skipped. Because it paused for a second. I had a little hiccup. And then when it came back, it was showing me a fucking Mortal Kombat trailer. And I was like, I missed the whole award.
Nope.
Hadn't happened yet.
No, that's... If he had been out to announce a fighting game, that would have been kind of like a natural progression.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Ed Boon was out there for best
racing
sports game.
Racing sports game. So that's not a secret what he's really doing out there anymore.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was weird.
A free demo for Capcom's Devil May Cry 5 is actually already available.
Available now. Go get it, bitches.
Available now on... I believe it's on Microsoft. And they also told us that the Bloody Palace mode will return for the fifth mainline entry in the series when it releases.
Thank goodness.
2019.
So we're here worried that that wasn't coming back.
That wasn't a thing.
Xbox also announced the winner of Arcade, one of its biggest and most popular promotions from the past, with a slight twist. This month will kick off the winner of Arcade, a collection of 9 hand-picked indie games releasing throughout December. They include Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom, Mutant Year Zero, Subnautica 1.0, Ashen, Hello Neighbor, Hide and Seek, Kingdom, Crowns, Desert Child Below, and Donut Cali. And to sweeten the pot, each one of them that you purchased after your first will net you $5 in Microsoft Store gift card, up to a total of $40 if you buy all of them.
Nice.
Those are cool games. I like Extra. I don't know.
I never mind Extra. And as we've already stated, Bethesda released a trailer for Rage 2 and announced that it will release on May 14th.
Oh, yeah. See, I knew there was a reason I knew it was May. I don't just keep that information in my head. So I just saw it. That's why. It's interesting.
Also, Joker from Persona 5 will be a DLC character for Nintendo's Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
A lot of people jazzed up about that.
Yeah, they are. They are.
I don't know much about Persona, and I don't know who the Joker in Persona is. So
will also be 4 other characters in the Challenger Pack 1, but no word yet on who they are.
And remember, if you get Smash Bros. Ultimate and play it before January, you can get the Piranha Plant early.
Yes.
piranha plant got no legs.
It's true. He don't stand.
Interesting.
He ain't got no arms. He don't do handstands either.
This is an announcement I did not see coming and excited me more than I would have expected. So Fortnite announced the creative mode. It's like they give you a set space and a number of items you can use. You can max out of the Think Little Big Planet thermometer style of, you know, you can't go too wild, but you can build an area. But the part I wasn't expecting is they got rid of risky reels in the map, in your normal standard Fortnite map for season 7. Is it 7?
Yes.
Yeah, season 7. And they replaced it with what they're calling the block. And what the block is, the block are these creative levels that you're building are being inserted into the Battle Royale mode of Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
So if I spend my time and energy building this awesome area in creative mode, Epic could then take it and insert it where Risky Reels was inside the map, and people could be playing real time on your map. And that's super fucking cool to me. As somebody not interested in getting back into Battle Royale on Fortnite, and I'm kind of up in the air about Save the World, I would play it. I'm going to play it with Howard because he needs me to, but I'm not excited about it. This gets me excited. Like, I love the idea that I can go in by myself, build something. You know, I like to create like that. It's relaxing for me. I kind of zen out. And then there's a chance someone else could actually enjoy the content. It's not just wasted.
Right.
So I think this is super cool. It's called The Block. And this is a smart idea. And again, I think Fortnite and Epic continue to make all the right moves. They scrap the map pretty much every year.
Yeah, and start over.
Or every season, I should say.
Make some kind of major change to it. I mean, they're keeping it, you know, relevant. Keeping it fresh.
But how many other things add new maps and do this? And they don't. They just take it away. And people are like, I can't believe you took that away. And they're like, okay, go play the game. Like, we took it away for a reason. It all makes sense together. And they just treat that franchise with so much love.
Yeah. Shout out to Donald Mustard.
Mustard. Also, yeah, I do too. Also, shout out to
Advent
us.
Advent Rising.
Also, shout out to us for tweeting about Fortnite way before anybody ever played it on consoles. I was doing something the other day and...
going back through...
And the Fortnite whiskey thing I tweeted out.
That
got retweeted by one of the producers. And I was like, man, nobody was talking about this game back then.
Yeah.
Fucking hipster now about it, though.
Yeah. It's the most hipster thing I've ever seen you do.
Yeah. Dan's been on a hipster kick lately.
I have. How so?
You said something on here, then you did a hipster move when we were playing like the next night, and then you're like, I don't even know what I want to play anymore. Nothing's interesting to me. It's gone full hipster.
You had a week like that too.
Yeah, but I wasn't talking about listening to indie performances at coffee shops and
that was one time. It wasn't an indie performance. It was Get Low by Lil Jon and Eastside Boys.
You've gone full hipster, and I'm fine with it. I didn't expect skinny jeans.
I don't have skinny jeans.
I
haven't gone full hipster.
Some of the announcements, most of the announcements. Rocket League did show off the McLaren, the non-customizable. Also, they said that car has the hitbox of the Dominus. I call shenanigans.
Really? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think they say they have it. It has the hitbox of the Dominus and the turning radius of the Octane. It might explain why I played fairly well in it, but to me, that car looks just like the Endo.
It does look like the Endo.
And I know this doesn't make any sense to anyone who doesn't play Rocket League, but fuck off. Get your own show, and you can talk about whatever you want. Because we're going to talk about the McLaren and the Endo, and you can just figure out what those are.
Yeah, I didn't do bad. I like playing in a McLaren. It wasn't bad.
But we've all played in the Dominus, so maybe it does.
Maybe.
Maybe it does. I don't know. Season.
See how it does with that point. With that point on the end.
I know, because the Dominus got a flat front on it. Season 2 of the Rocket Pass will be live by the time that you hear this. Because it does start on the 10th. So if you're into the Rocket League, you probably already knew that. But scoop that up if it's something you're interested in.
Yeah.
Very much worth the value. And they made a lot of good changes for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I'll be getting it.
I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks for being here, Dan.
Thanks for being here, Ryan.
You can't hear him, but thanks for being here, Gerald, producer Gerald.
Thank you, producer Gerald,
for pulling First up AD. Everything, keeping us
First
relevant.
First AD Gerald.
Oh, assistant director. Stage grip Gerald.
That's right. The gaffer.
Gaffer, man. Sweet, sweet gaffer. That's going to do it for us. Remember, you can follow us on social media as I am at Podcast Ryan. Dan is at Shirtless Dan. Gerald is at Hoffman Show. We're at game_Stitch if you want to hit all of us up. I had my good 1 week run on Twitter. I've pretty much calmed down since then.
Yes, you have.
But you're welcome for that week, folks. You're welcome.
Maybe I'll have to see what I can get going.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hold my breath, though.
Flex your social media muscles.
Oh, yeah. I haven't in a while.
Yeah.
Probably atrophied.
Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time.
Maybe it is.
It's like riding a bike.
Or maybe it's not.
It's like riding a bike. A really vile, toxic bike that everybody chimes in on. You know what I'm talking about. Twitter. That's what I'm talking about. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can listen to this show on Dash if you're listening to it on Dash right now, Dash Radio. This is weird because I'm talking about listening to it on here. So shout out to you for listening to it on Dash.
Welcome to the Inception.
If you're listening any other way, that's great too. Remember, rate us any way that you can. Thumbs up, star us, like us, poke us, touch us. Whatever option it gives you to indicate that you enjoyed the product that we work hard at, then please do so because it helps others find this show, especially the iTunes and Google Podcast reviews.
Yes.
Those are helpful. So
we enjoy those.
Keep on keeping on, and we're going to see you next week, same time, same place.
Over and out. Good night.